Good afternoon. Here we are on Healthy Easy Green today, and I have a really special guest, a dear friend of mine, Renee Brewer. Hi, Renee. How are you today?
Hi, Miss Linda. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, thank you. I'm as happy as well. on Healthy Easy Green, we're going to be talking a lot about health and green living and whatnot, healthy food, healthy living, healthy environment, healthy relationships. But I'm going to be talking to Renee today about the health of our society, kind of gauging that and seeing what's been happening in recent times, just because Renee has such a powerful story that has emerged from an intense tragedy, and something has come of that that is quite empowering and amazing and really, really special. So I wanted to share that with people today, Renee, and talk
okay.
about your journey through everything. I've known you for so long. And Renee, I just have to kind of sing your praises a little bit for starters, because Renee I've just known for many years. And Renee's always been the person that I've known. She's very solid. She's like a rock. She just is able to bring everybody in and warm them and make them feel at home and welcome. And she's just an amazing woman in many, many ways. And also another thing I was just thinking of, Renee, when I think of you, I think of a tree that is so solidly rooted in the ground, and your family and you are all of these branches around you, and you're really the nourishment for them all, and you're keeping them all together. And now, since all of this has grown from your experiences, you're not only nourishing and keeping solid all of your family, but this extended huge family that you've come to know through all of this. So I just mm-hmm. think that's how I see you, Renee.
Well, thank you. That's very sweet. And of course, I am very reciprocal about how you feel about me. I feel the same way about you. You are one of the most genuinely kind and, loving people that I've ever known. And I think we need a whole lot more like you out there on the front. So I guess we have an admiration society going on here, which is cool.
All right. Very cool. Well, to start off, Renee, I mean, you've got such a history in many, many fields, but what we're talking about today is particularly profound, and it all started out on a very tragic event and a very horrible day that happened to your family. And can you tell us a little bit about that, or tell us a lot
yes.
about that?
Where yes. did it start? What happened? It happened on October 12th, 2009, the day after my grandson, Michael Brewer's 15th birthday. And there had been a bit of a thing going on between some teenagers, and one thing led to another. And the Monday after the birthday party, Michael didn't go to school because he thought there might be some repercussions. But instead, he walked over to meet some of the boys that had been to the birthday party with him up here in West Palm Beach when they lived in Deerfield. And when that happened, I think even though it was portrayed as having been plotted, I think it was teenage boys who lose control of their own actions. I will always believe that because that's easier for me to believe, for one thing.
Right.
But one thing led to another that day, and after telling him that nothing was going to happen to him, they circled around, and one boy got his attention, and two other boys came up behind him and poured flammable liquid down his back and lit a big lighter to him.
Oh my gosh.
And he went up in flames. He threw his shirt off and ran for a wall, jumped the wall, and dove into a swimming pool and put the fire out.
Wow.
Now, luckily, you know, luckily he had that presence of mind, which, as a side note, is more amazing proof that no matter what happens in this lifetime, you don't leave until it's your time. So
do that, yeah.
Michael tried to climb out of the deep end of the pool, and when he reached his arms up to take a hold of the rungs on the ladder, his skin was hanging off of his arms, and he started screaming. And a young man, there was two people, aside from all the kids that witnessed this, there were two adults, a woman and her boyfriend. And the boyfriend dove in the pool and put his hands underneath Mike's butt and pushed him up the ladder and got him out of the pool. She then put a chair, it was very hot and sunny, and she put a chair under a tree, and they waited for the ambulance to get there. When
what
the
happened?
Ambulance,
the boys had been gone. The boys left. They just
yeah,
pulled.
Most of them took off. I, as another side note, that was probably the second most egregious thing that took place that day, was that none of those young boys helped him. And again, another lesson in the psyche of a 15-year-old boy. It's a very strange place. And I have a lot of boys in my life that I love more than life itself, but they get, you know, they're not like us girls. They don't think about the next minute. They only think about the minute they're in. And sometimes that particular behavior lasts a lifetime for some men.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I don't get a whole bunch of mean phone calls from all the men in my life. You know how much I love
it's
you.
It's a physical part of the brain
is.
That hasn't developed yet, I've heard, until they're about 21 or 22 years old. But like you say, sometimes it doesn't fully develop.
Sometimes it just never quite catches up. And they can be incredibly bright, but it's like the proverbial snowball rolling down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what took place that day. So they got him out of the pool, and as one of those little things that we will always feel were guardian angels, the paramedic knew Mikey. He used to babysit him.
Oh, my goodness.
So he knew him by name and calmed him, and they airlifted Mike to Broward General, where they put him on life support, and then took him directly to the Ryder Trauma Center in Miami, which is an affiliate of the Jackson Memorial Center that's in Miami. So they didn't have a whole lot of hope, I want to say, Linda. They really didn't believe that he would survive. At 2 o'clock, this happened at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 12 hours later, at 2 a.m. in the morning, as we sat in a little tiny waiting room at Ryder Trauma Center, and reporters and television studios, the media was insane. And police had to stand outside our door so that nobody could get to us. And
was this a huge amount of support, or was this just more, did you feel more sensationalism? I think it did create a huge amount of support in the short term, within the months following, but was it more out of empathy and sympathy, or do you think it was really too...
That night, I think it was sensationalism. I think it was the biggest story that happened in South Florida that week, and that's what everybody dove in on. But you're right. It turned in to something much greater, much more in keeping with what I believe human beings are supposed to be. So the end of the story, was a beautiful one. First of all, Michael survived. People were amazing. They came out of every nook and cranny to give their love and their support, which was amazing. He was visited by Ozzy Osbourne, for heaven's sakes. And
there was a lot of support, a lot of people calling in. And,
and Neighbors for Neighbors was another amazing entity. We're still very close to the director of Neighbors to Neighbors. And so, that night, the doctor came in and told us that we could see him, but that he would not even know that we were there because he was heavily sedated. And I just looked at my kids and I said, we don't believe that. This family is different from any other family.
You do have a different family, I must say. Yeah. Your family is so together. So together.
Well, I wish that was true. Of course, that's not true. What we are is we love each other. And
that's what I mean by that.
We have all the other trials and tribulations and challenges, if maybe not, maybe more than other families. But it doesn't seem to get in the way of how we feel about each other. So
no, I see your family is continually holding hands. No, you go. You all go through some tough stuff. That's for sure. But you're all together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's at the end of the day, that's really what counts. So we went in and. Michael opened his eyes, and it was horrible because I never saw so much fear in blue eyes as I did that night. And he was intubated, and he kept trying to tell us he was sorry. So I've been through many things like that in my lifetime, one with Michael's own father. He was hit by a car when he was 13 and was in a coma for 10 days. So I was kind of having a little bit of a deja vu and got feeling a little bit lightheaded, but he saw us and knew us, and we were grateful, and that held us for over 3 weeks because he never spoke again for almost a month, and then when they, there were lots of ups and downs, and I remember in particular the day that they removed some of the bandages from his head, and we saw that he still had ears. We were worried that he had no ears.
Yeah.
And the we all looked at each other, oh, my God, his ears are there.
Oh,
so,
God.
It becomes the little things. And, of course, when he woke up, it really just began then, because prior to that it was us with our own feelings, our own thoughts, our own worry, our own fears about what was to come. And what did come was a lot more pain, a lot more anguish, a lot more ups and downs, cadaver skin and skin grafts and staples and no ability to hold a body temperature. We'd be sitting in there in December with the AC on, and we'd all be freezing, wrapped in our coats and our blankets, and Michael would be on fire. And then maybe that would happen for 10 or 15 minutes, and then he'd say, I'm freezing. We'd wrap him again, and you couldn't let anything stick to him because it would stick. It was just
minute
it was
by
really,
minute,
really awful. Yeah, it was really, really awful. The doctors told us he would never leave the intensive care unit until March. And just to show you the positive reaction to a positive action, Michael was at my home in West Palm Beach on Christmas Eve.
Wow.
Yeah. He wasn't home that day, but he started being able to, Mike and Val and Mikey would come to my house on weekends and then go back. And we had a few more traumas. His breathing closed off twice, and they had to go in and clean out his trachea so that he could breathe again after being intubated for so long. Things like that happened a couple different times. But once he started repairing, it was almost hard to believe. And then when he got quite a bit better, then he went out to pretend that everything was okay. He got turned on to all kinds of drugs. And we ended up going into a bad part of Riviera Beach and hunting him down and pulling him out and getting him help.
Yeah.
And to do that, I enlisted the help of a very dear friend that has always been affiliated with Hippocrates. Adabella Prince came to my home and did some mind sonar on my grandson and alleviated the pain of that day.
that day still, that was with
yep,
him.
Yep. He still remembers it, but he doesn't visualize it, nor does all of the fear and all of the emotions from that day and for several days later there instead of a part of his and part of his head.
Or level that trauma, the whole body reacts.
Yes. And that would happen if you just looked at his arms or his legs. Mm. That would, you know, the rage, the everything would just come. And when Adabella finished her session with him that day, he was a different young man. And he still, you know, is a guy and has some issues with doing things the way he's supposed to, but we're not at that place anymore at all. Mm. And I must tell you, most of the time he's happy and smiling. I don't see the kind of anger that you often see. Michael will be 21 this October.
Oh, already? Wow, it's been a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's so, an amazing thing, how we have to really is about to show the power of healing the emotional body. Once we get through that layer, because that's more of an invisible layer before a physical body, they say now in the new medicine we're really going to have to deal with the emotional body to get to the physical wounds and broken pieces as well.
Well, and it's what you leave inside, Linda. Mm-hmm. Even once everything, you know, the physical, but with a multitude of wonderful, innovative things that the Western world of medicine has available to them.
Right.
However, I mean, if you go to a cancer clinic now, you get mail, you get the opportunity to compare notes with other patients, with other people that are going through very similar things that you are, which is a step forward. I would agree with that. The problem is, of course, is you have to be a sharer to begin with to be able to utilize those kind of programs. And if you're not a sharer, you still, you know, you wallow in that place of aloneness and fear and sometimes much deeper emotions like hatred and vindictiveness
and
anger.
Ruin it. Exactly.
So, you know, there has to be somebody in your life that can say it's not okay for you to hang on to this. Michael does not forgive these boys.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, these boys were supposed to be people that liked him. These were not strangers off the street.
He hung out with them. He knew them. They weren't strangers that attacked him on the streets some night in the middle of the night.
Exactly.
Now, so you were speaking earlier about the power of forgiveness, but that doesn't mean forgetting, because as you mentioned, you can't forget. But what's the difference between forgetting, forgiving, and how do people come to that point?
Well, it isn't easy to get to that point, but what they have to do is they have to understand that the forgiveness is for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for the person they're forgiving. The person that they're forgiving will not be altered in any way, shape, or form. And sometimes that makes you feel a little bit better, because you feel like, why should I forgive somebody that did this to me, because he doesn't deserve my forgiveness? Well, okay, but you're not doing it for him.
Right.
You're doing it for you, because you're the only one that's festering inside this inability to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Because it only hurts you. You know, there was a powerful thing Shelley and I talked about on Heart to Heart, about the woman who was raped, and this man just lacerated her face and did all this horrible stuff to her. And she does a lecture all over, and she talks about the fact that as long as she didn't forgive him, he was raping her over and over and over and over and over again. He had all the power.
Right.
He had all the power. And for me, that's a big part of it. I don't, as a rule, in my everyday, all the time life, I try really hard to never harbor resentment or hatred against anybody. Doesn't mean I'm going to bring you over for spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah.
But,
exactly.
I'm not going to put myself in that place because the only one that hurts is me.
Exactly.
And my forgiveness of those boys for what they did to my grandson is one of lots of emotions. The night that Michael was in, before we even got a chance to see him, I looked at Mike and Val, and I said, let me ask you both something. Because, I mean, they were afraid to talk.
Mom and Dad.
Mm-hmm. And I said, who would you rather be, us or the parents of these boys? And they both looked at me so quickly and said, us. I said,
right.
Isn't that amazing that we would rather be sitting here knowing that our little boy in there is in so much trouble and yet living with the fact that we had a child that could do this to somebody else would be more difficult for us to get through than this is. And that is the truth. That
and your family went through a huge, huge change. They went through all the whole gamut of emotions, too. You have a pretty large extended family with a lot of guys with who could really conjure up a lot of rage, I'm sure. And to keep that under control and to bring it to the point where you brought them, I have a feeling. I'm sure they did a lot of emotional work themselves, but I have a feeling that you were quite instrumental in making sure that what came out of this did not get worse on that end of things. Do you think that?
Well, I think, yeah, that's probably a true fact. I don't, but the end result is due to them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes,
they did the work.
Yeah, exactly. I was able to talk and make things a little bit more understandable and a little bit more organized, but you know, at the end of the day, they all realized that was just wasn't, first of all, an answer to anything.
No.
And second of all, today we're just stronger for it.
Yeah.
Stronger for it.
Absolutely.
And better for it.
Yeah, and what an example to their children as well, their young kids. So from those ashes, from that horrible, horrible pain, you turned that around and you created something quite amazing, a couple of things that I'm aware of, and I'm sure you've been through even more, but you were invited to come on talk shows, USA Today, I believe, Good Morning America. You created Renee's Heart to Heart Radio that was, I think, originally started to help kids who were in emotional distress to have someone to talk to. I think that was part of the goal for that. But also, can you remind me the cute heart with the arms, the red one, and that was when we were working together, and it had something to do with grandmothers and your position. Can you tell us what came out of that for you? Where did you take all that to help the society, to help the extended family that we are?
Well, I think a big majority of what happened was giving adults, not just the kids, but the adults, an opportunity to understand a little bit about today's society, about kids, about the deal that's going on with kids, about what happens with kids today. And some of the places that I spoke in the very beginning were senior citizen homes. And they, of course, you know, embraced my grandson big time. I mean, they were all like, it was all about them getting to see him and be a part of what he had going on. And they made him enough chocolate-covered strawberries to see him. And it was all about learning how you get through something like this without the topical scars are obvious and evident, but the internal scars hurt us so much more. Mm-hmm. Michael is handsome as hell. I mean, he is a good-looking, smiley cute guy.
Yeah.
And doesn't want for female attention in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of this caused angst in other areas. So when I talked to some of the adults, you know, for as long as we've all been alive, honey, whenever you're the teenager, you have to hear about from somebody older than you how you would have never done that when you were that age, or
yeah, right.
you would have never done this. So Heart to Heart has led me into some amazing arenas, the world of course, drug abuse and alcohol,
mm-hmm.
the world of mental illness, the world of adoption. Adoption, not knowing where you came from and the harm that does to a child. I've gotten into many, many arenas, but the biggest thing that I think came to light was the fact that if you don't want to be bullied, if you don't want to be picked on by somebody else, don't feed into it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feed into it. You can, one man, one woman cannot play volleyball alone.
Right.
Once they hit the ball over and nobody hits it back, the game's over.
How about the young kids, the young, really shy kids who are really not fighting back, but just continue to be picked on and tormented?
Even if they're not fighting back, they're empowering. I did some seminars with a man by the name of Israel Kalman. He is the director and the, I don't even know what else his title would be, but he started an organization called Bullies to Buddies.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting.
And he and I are very close. I've been to some of his seminars, and one of my favorite things to do was to do role-playing with him.
Hmm.
So we have a young guy who's running a camp for preschoolers, and he says he has trouble with bullying, even with these kids. As a rule, toddlers, you know, you have a little thing happen, and, you know, it's usually stopped quickly because the adults take charge when they're 3 and 4.
Yeah, right.
However, he said, you know, you cannot have a conversation with a 3 or 4 year old about somebody else, you know, empowering somebody else and doing stuff like that. Izzy said, those are good questions. He said, you torment me. We're both 4. And I just took away your ball or jumped in front of you on the slide or did something to you. And, you know, we're going to start fighting and we're looking at each other. And you tell me say something mean to me. So the guy says, get away from me. You know, you stink and you're a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And Izzy goes, so? And the
yeah,
whole room
right.
got quiet. And
exactly.
And the counselor says, Izzy said, how do you, he said, you're a grown up. What are you going to say back to me?
Exactly.
He says, I don't know what to say. And Izzy said, it's the same with a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same idea because you just didn't serve it. And when you have these kids, one of the things I learned that's very deep and is an issue no matter how you want to analyze it, is when somebody says something to you that you believe, that you know for true about yourself. Like if you have, let's take 14-year-olds with severe acne,
mm-hmm.
and everybody in school calls them pizza face or, you know, anything mean along those lines. That kid, boy or girl, goes home so much hurt because they agree.
Yeah.
They are a pizza face.
Right.
So then, you know, then that child, you know, is going to need some help from other people. It's when the bullying is not true, is, you know, we did a role playing where I said, girls kept standing next to me, and I said, I was the bully, and I said, get away from me. You smell funny. I don't like the way you smell, and your clothes are stupid or something like that, I said. So she goes to the teacher, tells the teacher, and the teacher says, well, we're going to get Renee in trouble. I'm going to go to the principal, and we're going to call her parents and all this kind of stuff. And he said, and then the next day, everybody in school is talking about the fact that just because Renee told you not to stand next to her, you got her in all kinds of trouble. Is that going to put you in better stead?
Yeah, right.
And she said, no. Mm-hmm. He said, that's one of the issues, is too much involvement when it's not necessary. More
so how do kids get taught this? I mean, in school we're getting less and less life skills, I think, in the school system.
Yeah.
Right now. They're cutting everything. How do kids in all ages like this get these skills, get the knowledge? Are you seeing any change in the school system?
I see a little bit of change in the school system. It's still all about reporting and tattletaling. I tell a funny story. Barbara and I are 19 months apart. My sister is no longer with us, but as children, we were like typical sisters that were that close in age, and we would tattle on each other all the time and try to get the other one in trouble. So if I tattled on Barbara, Barbara got a nickel. If she tattled on me, I got a nickel.
Uh-huh.
So Izzy said to me, your mother was way ahead of her time. And I said, I said, right, because we were so mad at the other one, we didn't want the other one to get the nickel, so we wouldn't tell. You know, but we've talked about that, too, in some of the, I've had meetings with teachers. I went to a big seminar in Hollywood, and a few of the other things that we've talked about that I think would be beneficial for kids is the understanding also between bullying and something that's illegal. If someone lays their hands on you, it's no longer bullying. That is, you know, that's an offense. And that's punishable in a whole different way. Bullying is names or ostracizing in some way. But if somebody stabs you with a pencil on the school bus or trips you when you're walking down the aisle or, the old movies where they stick your head in the toilet and do a swirly or something like that, those actions are punishable by law.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of the school districts need to talk about that too, because the reason they need to talk about it is to enlighten the offenders, the ones that are doing things like that, and let them know that it's not going to be, we call your mother and tell her you're being a bad boy.
And a lot of the real weak who are being bullied are probably terrified of even saying anything because it's going to make things worse, so they just bottle it up, go home, and feel horrible and don't want to go to school the next day. That happens quite a bit.
Well, and that's the other thing that we talk about, is being aware of what's going on with your children.
Exactly. How are they reacting at home? What's changed?
Uh-huh.
And most kids who are bullies are bullied themselves, usually by an older brother, sister, or even by their own parents. I mean, parents can be horrifically cruel to their kids just by their own continual verbal abuse of their kids or what's going on at home.
That's where the most bullying takes place, is in the home, not in middle school, but in the home. And, of course, you're right about that. That's of course, the other major side effect is the fact that, a lot of times it's hard to teach a lesson when our leaders are not very good representation for being good to each other. One of the first lectures I ever gave, I talked about being on the phone with your best friend at the end of the workday, and you're trying to get dinner ready, and you hang up the phone. Oh, my God, she drives me nuts. She had me on the phone. And your little girl standing there and says, I thought Linda was your best friend.
Yeah, right.
Well, she is. Well, then why are you talking bad about her, Mommy?
Right.
Or driving in the car and screaming four-letter words to somebody who cuts you off.
It's true.
Or we teach our 12, 13, and 14-year-olds to watch the politicians when it's time to vote for a president so that they can be enlightened for the day when they're going to vote for the president of the United States. And instead of seeing the opponent standing up there telling you what they can do to make your world a better place, they're pointing their fingers at each other, telling all these horrible, sordid tales about each other instead of telling everybody what they can do to make the United States a better place.
That's very true. Sometimes when I'm reading a news story, I'll scroll down and read the comments, and I'm appalled at adults. Adults, their reaction to stories, the way they accuse, the way they cut people down, the way they are cruel, totally cruel, totally cruel. And I just get discouraged sometimes, Rini, when I see that. I go, what, is there hope? Is there hope? I mean, when you can't even, I don't know if these people could get their minds changed besides through a tragedy even, to have really them open up to see empathy and caring towards someone else who doesn't have the same opinion as theirs or the same color or race or religion or whatever. It's kind of...
Well, see, that's the other issue, I think, today, is forgiveness and acceptance and embracing the culture, the appearance, the beliefs of others has got to be reevaluated and reestablished. Because it's none of my business who you sleep with.
Mm-hmm.
It's none of my business, what kind of a bikini you wear. It's mm-hmm. certainly none of my business what color you are. And it's none of my business, any of that stuff, unless it pertains to me. So being able to embrace our differences is the only time or the only way that will ever become a community again. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that I strive for in my family.
Exactly. That's where it starts.
Exactly.
That's the start.
And if you can't do it with a family member, you know, how can you be expected to do it with strangers?
Exactly.
Our judgmentality and our ability to think that we know something about somebody when we don't, or have the right to make a judgment call on somebody when we don't, is appalling to me.
I can't imagine. I was with some friends, and I mentioned the Michelle Obama, for example, mm-hmm. on something. Just mentioned her name. Oh, she's so irresponsible. She never does what she says and did. And I said, so you've worked with her. Have you received emails from her or waited emails that you've never gotten that she was going to do
good
something and she never got back to you? Oh, gee whiz, I didn't know you had worked with her and you knew her so closely. You know, it's like, come on,
that's
people.
Great.
It's like, where do these stories come up? It's kind of nuts, but it's...
but imagine that you're behaving like that in front of your 10-year-old.
Exactly. That's where they'll get it.
That's the whole deal. And then you're upset because your 10-year-old is in trouble in school because there's a new Islam child, and your kid is the one that's picking on them, and you're wondering why.
You were saying the same nasty things about them at home, in general.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about the violence that we see in video games? Have you been hearing?
I think that is, again, our job. I mean, we watched The Three Stooges, and I had cousins. One of my cousins stuck his finger in his brother's eye. His brother's
eye
is still crooked.
Yep.
Right?
Oh, my gosh.
And I talked about this in the very beginning so much because everybody wanted to blame video games, Grand Theft Auto, for what happened to Michael.
Mm.
And I said, that's craziness. You know, you cannot possibly believe that that's something that is copied. Unless you don't teach your child anything,
mm-hmm.
if you don't teach them right from wrong, so does that mean because Superman puts on a red cape and jumps off the building, he's going to try that?
Yeah, right.
I mean, come on. I do think that if you're going to let your kids play some of these games, you should know your child well enough to know whether he's mature enough or she's mature enough to do that. And if your answer is, I'm not sure, then you shouldn't be purchasing those games for your kid to play, is the way I feel about it. Because
if you're
you
teaching
cannot,
at home is such that these are this is not good to watch or to be absorbing, maybe the child won't even be attracted to it in the first place. So there's a question for me of the amount of absorption we have continually seeing this, and it goes in our eyes. That's a physical thing, and I think that it's hard for the kids to get out of that if they're doing it 6-7 hours at night till 2 a.m. I was hearing a nice, a really interesting report on CBC Radio up here in Quebec, and there's a new genre of video games out called empathy games. Have you heard of those?
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're interesting in the sense that they put the player into situations that aren't already kind of pre-decided, but the person has to make decisions as per as if they were the person kind of in this situation where they needed some empathy or sympathy or concern or help or whatever, and how do they make these decisions. So I think there's even one that's called Minority Media, where they're actually doing this to, I think it started out, one of the owners of the company is a Native Indian and of the Cree tribe, and he actually built this or created this because he was bullied as a kid, and in one of his games, the child, the boy, is being bullied. So when someone's playing this game, how do they? It puts them in the shoes of the person who's being bullied. So sometimes I think that could attract, affect the people down to their cellular emotional level, and it might be a help in the future when deciding, okay, do I have peer pressure behind me? My friends are saying this person is ugly, stupid, stinky, whatever, or new to school or whatever. Do I pick on them because my friends are with me?
Mm-hmm.
Or because I understand a little bit more now, I'm going to say to my friends, hey, be nice, let's welcome this person. Let's
mm-hmm.
help them. Let's do something.
Well, I think any time. That's why I like SpongeBob SquarePants, Linda. SpongeBob SquarePants. I watched that with one of my youngest grandsons, and I like it because it teaches you that one of the most important things is friends and family,
mm-hmm.
and I love that. And even when SpongeBob does something dumb, everybody figures out a way to forgive him, and they become friends again. So a part of that, I think, matter of fact, I once contacted some affiliates with SpongeBob to see if they would help me do some things about bullying, and the young woman that I talked to told me that they had a whole staff. I said, then I'll leave you alone. I said, because as long as I like SpongeBob, what you teach the kids already, that's the only reason I'm contacting you, because I see an opportunity here, because the kids love SpongeBob SquarePants, even the older kids.
Yeah.
And they've done quite a few things that are, teaching the kids about forgiveness and good behavior and just tenaciousness. SpongeBob can't get a driver's license and all this kind of stuff. All these lessons
mm-hmm.
are good lessons. And I do think there's a way to keep teaching our kids and to keep showing our kids, no matter how old they are, about better behavior. But I think we have to do it first, because leading by example is the best way to teach anything.
Yeah, and I remember when you were out in your initial outreach to people, you were really addressing parents. That's really
mm-hmm.
the start.
That's
and
right.
They're the ones that are going to influence the kids, too. So going forward, do you have any projects on the coming up that you see, or are you Renee's Heart to Heart Radio is continuing on? What have you got going on now?
Well, I still I took this week off because I'm home from Vibrant Health Institute, which of course I'm working 7 days a week and loving it. But I would never let go of Renee's Heart to Heart, because it's taught me so much about people, about myself, about everything. And of course, I've talked about bullying everywhere. And very near and dear to my heart is bullying in the workplace, which is not about children. It is about adults, grown-ups, who are making their own way in this world and don't care who they hurt to get there. So I've done a lot of talks about that as well. And, of course, again, you set the example. You, no matter who you are, no matter what kind of horrible, you could be the town fool, and your kid is still going to watch you to find out what to do about the next time they have an issue. Your kid is watching you. I don't care who you are. If you look at me and say, oh, my kid's not going to pay any attention to me because he knows I'm not very successful, I'm not this, and I'm like, I say, wrong.
Yeah.
You're the only leader in their life for a long time. And they
very
do.
True. Very
they
true.
They do go with what you teach them. I promise you that.
They will. They absolutely will. So for people who'd like to hear into Renee's Heart to Heart, how do they go about that?
Well, you can reach me on Blog Talk Radio, which is very, very easy to do. Just go to Blog Talk Radio and look up Renee's Heart to Heart. When I am back on the air, which will be next week, because I'm working so many hours, and a lot of my shows kind of take on a life of their own, but it often requires quite a bit of research. So with me working all the hours that I'm working at Vibrant Health Institute, I've cut back to Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
But you can always get on my Facebook page under Renee Brewer and hear the recordings anytime you'd like to. Mm-hmm. Or you can call 347-989-0352 and talk to me during the show. I get many surprised guest callers. This past year and a half, I've been pretty heavily involved in adoption agencies. A young woman reached out to me who had been listening to the show, and she made some mistakes and decided that the best thing for her to do was to put her child up for adoption, and in the 11th hour changed her mind, and they wouldn't let her. And they took her child. And they, she's been fighting in court now. He turned a year old a couple weeks ago. And getting involved in that and talking about that on the air brought a lot of young women out of the woodwork. And I learned a lot about adoption agencies. And I try to get the word out that if that is your course of action, and I'm not judging anyone, I'm just saying that if it's what you decide to do, please, please educate yourself, because even that world is all about money, all about money.
Right.
And it's almost like some of them are in the baby selling business. So please be careful. And, I still talk about bullying in the workplace. I talk about trying to be a grown-up in today's world and not be judgmental yourself. It's very, very important for your own happiness.
Okay.
Because if you're so busy judging everybody else, chances are you're a long way from being that perfect person that you'd like to be. So
I think we never really get there. So it's great to have a lot of tolerance and patience with people. And make sure you remember that everybody's got their story. You know, we see that little quote that we see pass by Facebook every once in a while. You know, the girl that you've teased got attacked by her uncle, or the young boy who just arrived in school, his mom has got cancer and she's dying, and no wonder he's sad at school, but he doesn't want to talk about it. You know, there's so many things behind people's lives that we don't know, so if we can be tolerant and patient and kind with people, it sure can make a difference in somebody's life. That's for sure. And
that
I know you've made tons of differences and tons of people's lives. That's why I imagine the tree that we started talking out with, you were the support of all of your family branches, but all of your work and stemming from this tragedy that happened to your family, that it affected the lives of dozens of people, not only your family, but the family of the boys who actually did this, that one act, their lives changed for the rest of their lives, and same thing with all of your family. But now from that, you have touched, thousands of people's lives with it. So your tree has got lots more branches.
Yes, that's funny because I equate my family to a very, very giant banyan tree. I say that to people all the time. When I visualize us, I think when a branch droops down, it plants itself so that it gets bigger and bigger and more unified, and with unity comes strength, tremendous strength.
More roots.
It doesn't take away the imperfections.
No. Oh,
it just provides strength. That's right.
Each of those roots itself even stronger, and that survives all the hurricanes and all the storms and all the all the wind and the rain, and it's home for many animals and people.
Mm-hmm.
We love sitting under them. So that is an amazing testimonial to you and everything you've been through and your family and all that has gone since then. Seven short years.
Yep.
Pretty crazy.
Yep. Wow. Lots of things have changed, and lots of things have stayed the same. So it's funny the way life is like that. So
it sure is.
I just a couple weeks ago, I celebrated 48 years of marriage, and I said to my husband, I said, "Who'd have thought?" And he goes, "I know."
Exactly.
And friendships. You know, I revel in my friends. I am so incredibly blessed with friends that even though I have this really big family, which is the best, but I also appreciate my adult friends, and that's another thing that I'd like to see more of with all of us, being able to. You see, for some reason you think once you have a big family and you have this and you have a job and everything, you don't have time for friends anymore, and you kind of like drift away. And that's a dumb thing to do. Don't do that. Embrace your friendships and make more whenever you've got the opportunity.
Make time for them like you do as well. I know you always make time for your friends at least once a week. A nice.
That's right.
Time
That's right.
Together.
Matter of fact, we're all meeting this Saturday. So.
Ah, if I was there, I'd be there. I know you have a great everybody. Well, you're part of those friends, and everybody's blessed to have you as friend as well. So,
well, thank you, sweetheart. Thank you very much.
So,
good luck on your show. I think this is a great idea. It would be nice if one of these times when you want to, you could call me at Vibrant Health Institute, and we could have a really lengthy conversation about health and the upside of detoxing every now and then, and the upside of cleansing your, not just your body, but your mind and your spirit. And
I'd love to.
We could have a great conversation about that.
I'd love to. Definitely we'll be doing that in the future, because you're very knowledgeable in that realm as well, and you've helped so many hundreds, if not thousands, of people get through that difficult time too, because it's not always easy to detox body, mind, and spirit. You know, there are some little tough points, and every time someone was going through a detox issue, and even a bully issue, and even an emotional issue, where we worked together before at the Hippocrates Institute, people would flock to Rini's office and have a little time in the nest of being.
Yep.
Taken care of and under somebody's wing and understood and shared. Like you were saying, sharing is so important, and it was always so beneficial.
Well, I'm a big believer in listening, you know, because it's quite empowering to really listen to other people. Quite empowering, because it's the things people have shared with me through the years have taught me so much. I sometimes it blows me away when I really sit and think about all the things that people have said to me and shared with me.
It's so rich. It is. Well, there. Yep. You were able to have that gift because you were giving that as well. So. That's,
well, I think it is reciprocal. I do think that that's true. I think that it's if somebody knows you're really hearing them, they share things with you that they never thought about articulating, some cases, ever before. And it opens that door for both of you. So It's a great thing. So.
And it's very liberating and freeing too. Mm-hmm. So definitely, it'll be in the future another nice program with you. You're at your Vibrant Health Institute up in Michigan, which is your new project, helping people detox their bodies and their minds and their emotions and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And a wonderful getaway that you've created up there with another team of people.
Oh, it's so nice. We are having so much fun. The other day after one of the healing circles, I call it a sharing circle, and we all stood up and everybody's kind of, it was a stressful one, you know, and I looked at everybody and said, "Is everybody ready to regress into our childhood?" And we all did the hokey pokey. You should have seen the look on their faces. "You're going to make us do the hokey pokey?" I said, "Yes, I am."
For sure. And everybody got laughing again.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was great.
Beautiful.
So I'm having a big festival there on the 21st of June. It's a CHI from the Creative Health Institute. It's a reunion. Mm-hmm. And I have a full house that week at the Institute, and that Sunday will be open from 9 until 5. I have guest speakers talking about Ann Wigmore, and I have a lady sharing her story of recovery, and some people talking about the other founders that were responsible for the success of Creative Health Institute back in its day. So it should be a great, fun day. We're looking forward to it.
That sounds awesome. What's the website for that, Renee?
You can find it on the Vibrant Health Institute website. There's some advertisement for it there, and I have some local vendors that will be there as well. I have one lady who's an author, and she's going to share her book. So it's going to be very much like the first festival we ever did at Hippocrates, small and intimate, but enlightening and fun.
Great. Oh, awesome. Well, that's awesome. So thank you so much, Renee, for being with us today. And to find Renee on Facebook, it's Renee Brewer, and that's spelled R-E-E-N-I-E. And her last name is Brewer, which is B-R-E-W-E-R. And it's just a joy to reconnect with you, my dear, and we will do
Thank
it again
you, sweetie.
Soon in the
you
future.
Too. Give that handsome husband of yours a hug for me, okay?
I will, definitely. Okay, say hi to all your gang, too, okay?
I will. God bless, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
You too, my dear. Thank you.